Hello, hello, hello. Check, check, check. All right, welcome everyone to the CarCast of Radio Free Nintendo. We are in the car on Thursday morning heading to the third and final day of E3 2011. I'm your host, Jonathan Metz, and I'm sitting between James Jones and Jared Rosenberg, and Neil and TYP are in the front seat, and we'll meet up with Aaron and Nathan when we get to the show. So we didn't have time to do a podcast yesterday because it was the long day of E3. It was the most hours of the show, and then we went to the Nintendo Developer Roundtable after the show was over, and then we went to the Nintendo of Europe party after that, and we got home about midnight and all just pretty much melted into the floor. So now we're on our way back. We're catching up on a few things, and so I wanted to catch all of you up on what's been going on at our E3. So the most immediate thing on my mind, at least, is the Ubisoft / Nintendo press event last night. It was the second developer roundtable, but instead of having people like Miyamoto and Tezuka or Aonuma up on the stage, we had these three different teams or developers from Ubisoft talking about their games that they're making for Wii U. Now, one of them was Assassin's Creed, and that guy really didn't say much of anything about the game. They threw up a couple of phrases or sentences about how they might use the controller in an Assassin's Creed game, but they didn't show any kind of artwork. They wouldn't even confirm whether this is a new game or some kind of expanded port of maybe Assassin's Creed Revelations, which is coming out this holiday season. So there really isn't much to say about that, except it is kind of surreal that Assassin's Creed is coming to a Nintendo console. We still just really don't know much of anything about it. But they showed two other games. First up, Ghost Recon Online, which maybe James can talk about. Actually, Jared too, because Jared played the single player demo at Nintendo's booth, which none of us have been able to manage so far, none of the rest of us. And then they showed a multiplayer demo at this event. So first off, Jared, why don't you talk about your experience playing Ghost Recon Online for Wii U?
Sure. Pretty much, it was a really basic demo. It takes place in like a barren city landscape with basically it's... You just walk forward. There's a couple places you can get behind to do cover and things. It controls like a regular, warfare shooter, dual analog stick shooter. You could do right trigger shooting. You have a cover button. You can also jump over things. It's a regular shooter. The cool thing, I guess, really is just what you can do with the Wii U touch controller. Basically, you have a map on it, and you can press, place your finger anywhere on the map, and you'll immediately put like a marker point on the screen, and then you can see that on the television. And like they were saying as an example, then anyone can, if you're playing like an online match, everyone will be able to see that point, and it's really easy to put that on screen. The other thing you could do with the touch controller was you had your own drone, which was flying in the sky, and you either could give it commands to tell it who to attack, and all the enemies in the demo were also were drones. But the cool thing was on the screen you could actually see what the drone was looking at, and then you could drag across the screen to like change its viewpoint and stuff. So It was interesting, but it's definitely just a tech demo.
Great, thanks. Well, the demo that they showed at the multiplayer demo that they showed last night at the roundtable was similar, and it showed off some of the same features. I guess one of the big questions right now is how they're going to sell this game, because it's free to play on the PC. Still unconfirmed whether you're going to be able to play cross-platform online between Wii U and PC, but
they actually the guy, the representative there, actually told me there will not be cross-platform play.
Okay, I'm not surprised to hear that, because when someone asked about it last, I think it was Jeff Keighley actually asked about it last night at the Q&A, they didn't sound very confident that they would be doing that, but they didn't give a very clear no. So there you have it. Probably not cross-platform play. And I think it makes sense considering that players on the Wii U would probably have an advantage in terms of having more information at their fingertips with the controller. And then, you know, you could also argue that the players online have an advantage of being able to play with a mouse and keyboard. So the other game that was shown at Ubisoft, at the roundtable last night, was Killer Freaks from Outer Space. And believe it or not, James Jones seemed really excited about this. So, James, I want to ask if you could give a description of this and your thoughts on seeing it.
I appreciate the sudden doubt that I could be excited about an Ubisoft game. But, The Killer Freaks from Outer Space is this kind of campy, retro-themed game in which essentially aliens have descended on London and have begun destroying the city, and then one crazy survivalist has built enough whacked weapons that you kind of the stuff you'd expect from an early first-person shooter, like chainsaw guns shooting and like big explosions and like plasma rifles. It's built enough of these things in an attempt to essentially get away from these creatures and beat them back. The thing about the game is that in the single player, they were showing it controlled using the Wii U controller, and the idea was that the person playing it would actually hold the controller and use that as their view, and they would move around, and that would be how they control their directional aiming and the area they're looking, and they would walk with the circle pad. So it's kind of this almost AR kind of gameplay where your movement is mapped onto the screen. They discussed how you don't have to turn all the way around in a circle if you want to get behind you, because it'll detect how fast you're going and adjust your movement speed accordingly. It looked really nice. The monsters they showed were like mutant rabbits, which they explained was because they wanted to kill the rabbits after making so many rabbits games, which I wholly agree with. I want to kill the rabbits after there being so many rabbits games. It just looked interesting. It was a neat use of the Wii U controller, but unfortunately we couldn't play it. So I got to watch other people play it. They didn't seem too disoriented by the experience. There was a multiplayer mode shown as well, in which the person controlling our survivalist hero is playing using the Classic Controller Pro, so via Wii Remote. He was now using the TV screen instead of using the Wii U controller like he does in single player. And then another player, who was his opposition, was spawning these monsters on using the Wii U controller with a top-down view to try to kill him. I think it was based on you had to survive a certain amount of time. They mentioned that there could be multiple survivalist players that the controller has to kill. But beyond that, we don't have a whole lot of detail regarding the game. Like I said, it looks interesting, although I'm some reservations about spinning around to shoot things.
I agree with you on there. We found out during the Q&A, actually, that apparently you don't have to stand up and spin around to play the game. They're also putting in some kind of mode where you can just sit on the couch and make small movements with the controller to do it that way. But I was surprised they didn't come out and just confirm that you can play this game with the buttons and the joysticks if you want to. I mean, you're still using that stuff anyway, but they haven't yet shown or hinted at any mode where you can just completely turn off the motion control. And I'm not surprised at this point, because it is at the conceptual stage, and that's the part that they want people talking about. They also haven't completely confirmed whether this will have online multiplayer. They showed some really interesting local multiplayer stuff, but I think there were hints that it would be really cool to play it online with other people, but it doesn't seem like there'd be any reason not. I mean, if they're doing Ghost Recon online, then clearly they're anticipating the use of online features on this system. But it's not yet part of the DNA of Killer Freaks from Outer Space. But the game certainly looks really good and a lot of fun, actually. And it's definitely M-rated for those at home wondering about Ubisoft's history with first-person shooters on the Wii. This one had plenty of blood and seems pretty vicious and violent. So I think... Dismemberment, yeah, I think there's no doubt about this one being an M-rated game, which is interesting, you know, given their past. So we played a lot of other things at the show yesterday, and I want to ask Neil now. Neil's probably been one of the more active people in terms of running around and being at a lot of different appointments and seeing a lot of different things. So I want to ask Neil what stood out to him, or just anything he wants to talk about that he did yesterday.
Well, I guess first I'd like to talk about the Ubisoft Killer Freaks from Outer Space game. I think James touched on it a little bit, but what kind of struck me about that game is how it does seem heavily inspired by stuff like Duke Nukem and Left 4 Dead, and we confirmed that with the developers following the roundtable, and that there's this kind of real-time enemy director system, sort like much like Left 4 Dead, that might be used for more multiplayer modes as opposed to just that 1v1. Like, it's possible that it might be four players using class controllers against one person, you know, placing enemies on the Wii U controller touchscreen, which seems pretty cool. But as far as games that I saw, I checked out the Kid Icarus AR card demo, and there wasn't much to see at all. I just figured I'd mention that. I don't even know how I can write impressions, because literally all it was the person at the system would place down two cards, and then you would watch through the screen and see them fight. And that was all there was to it. Apparently there will be more to it whenever that game comes out. Now I need to get my head straight on. I played Fortune Street yesterday, which I guess Itadaki Street is what it's called in Japan. And it's basically this kind of weird Monopoly-esque game that was created by Yuji Horii back in the early 90s. And it has Mario and Dragon Quest characters, and they, you know, buy properties and steal properties. And, like, Mario made some kind of, I guess through text, not through voice, but something about how, like, he wants to use a super mushroom on his properties. So it's got a layer of camp value there, too. We also, James and I went to go see, to the Metal Gear Solid 3D Q&A that we had with a producer on the game from Kojima Productions. There wasn't really too much said there. I guess the one surprising thing from that was that, asked about, you know, why Metal Gear Solid 3 as opposed to 2 or a new game. And the reasoning that it is Metal Gear Solid 3 is that making a new game would take more resources than Kojima Productions has to offer right now, and they couldn't bring all those or bring in more people, I guess, to work on a brand new game with brand new, you know, story and content and everything. And also, it's not two, because Metal Gear Solid 3 seems to be a good entry point to the system, which you know, makes sense. It's chronologically, it's the earliest game. And I guess the final note that I'll make is about the Frogger 3D game, which, I mean, I guess this is kind of like irreverent third-party crap that I'm going over. Frogger 3D involves, it's basically Extreme Frogger, and there's like a city level where you're on a skyscraper, and if you wait too long, you get eaten by a bird. There are tanks in a level, and you don't want to hit a tank because then you will blow up. If you die in one level, rats will eat your dead frog carcass. It's really weird. I wouldn't really say it's good. It's just weird. All right, but I think that's all I got right now. I'm gonna rest before we get on the show floor.
All right. Thanks, Neil. And I think for now I'm gonna skip TYP because it would probably be a gross violation of California traffic laws to have him podcasting and driving at the same time on the freeway. But I just want to make a few final personal comments before we wrap up this short car cast. And we'll try to get one more, at least one more big wrap-up podcast either tonight or sometime tomorrow on our off day. I was on special assignment yesterday, and this is one reason you haven't seen me post a lot of impressions yet, because a lot of the games that I went to see yesterday are actually not playable yet on Nintendo platforms. But I went to go see a lot of the third-party multi-platform games that were announced for Wii U at the press conference. So some of these I got to play. Some of them were just kind of theater, eyes-on demos, things like that. But I feel like my voice is modulating up and down because the road is so bumpy. anyway, so I got to see stuff like Metro Last Light, which is the sequel to Metro 2013 or whatever, 2023. Yeah. And I went with Nathan to that. Nathan had played the first Metro and really liked it, and I did not. I knew very little about it. I knew it was made by these Russian guys who also did Stalker on the PC. Metro was their first game on consoles, and I'd heard pretty good things about it. I remembered that it's kind of a shooter, but it also has a lot of RPG and exploration elements. And one of the interesting things is that you use bullets for money. So there's a lot of sort of risk reward in terms of combat and whether you want to use your guns during combat or not. And a lot of repairing things. You're sort of putting guns together out of spare parts and stuff like that. And a lot of that seems to be carrying through in Metro Last Light, but I guess the developers are taking a lot of care to improve the action and the combat parts of the game. So this is more of a solid first-person shooter, but apparently it's also going to retain all of those RPG and exploration elements, and some survival horror as well, they said. And yeah, I can see that. I mean, it's a very dark game, very creepy. You're crawling through subway tunnels a lot. There seem to be a lot of use of stealth, probably to conserve ammo is a good motivation to do that. But because the environments are so dark, a lot of times the enemies can't see you or you can't see them. So there's a lot of sneaking up behind people. It's very grisly, very, very much a mature rated game, that's for sure. And I'm sure they were running it on some kind of extreme high-end PC, but it looked amazing as well during this demo. So it'll be really interesting to see how that translates to Wii U in terms of hardware performance and also what kinds of uses they can make of the controller. Nothing really sprang to mind as I watched this demo, but given that it is a fairly complex game with a lot of different elements, I'm sure that they will come up with some pretty good uses of it. So I also saw Aliens Colonial Marine. This is it's essentially a sequel that they claim to the Aliens movie by James Cameron. And they also had some consulting from Ridley Scott on it in terms of the environment design and the backstory. But this is being made by Gearbox, the people who did Borderlands, who are finishing up Duke Nukem Forever, who did Brothers in Arms, etc. So they really specialize in first-person shooters, and that's what this is. It's a first-person shooter. It reminded me a lot of Dead Space in terms of the atmosphere, in terms of obviously you have these aliens, the xenomorphs, crawling all over the walls and the ceiling. They're popping out of vents, so there's definitely a horror element to it, but there's a lot of action too because you are shooting at these things. So the main difference with Dead Space would be that you are with a lot of other AI characters because you're in a squad, a large squad, not like a tight unit or anything. It seems like there are a lot of these Colonial Marines on the ship, and they're all attacking them. So it's almost more like Call of Duty in that sense, and that you're always surrounded by other guys who are also shooting at the aliens, and they're talking the whole time. So it seems much less focused on solitude, which Dead Space is all about. But the other thing is that there will be four-player online co-op, drop-in, drop-out throughout the entire game, so you definitely don't have to play it alone. That was pretty cool. They showed two-player, but there was only one screen, so you couldn't really see what was going on with the other player, so he may or may not have actually been playing the game. It wasn't really clear from the demo. It certainly looks pretty cool for fans of Aliens, which is a great action movie, and it's another first-person shooter. There seem to be a lot of these being announced for Wii U, but Randy Pitchford, the president of Gearbox, who was there giving the demo, he did make an interesting comment. He said that they've had they appreciated Nintendo trusting them with very early access to Wii U development kits. They've been working on that version for quite a while, and he confirmed that they already have a version of the game up and running on Wii U, which wasn't being shown, but it sounds like they're pretty far along with that, and so we might see this very close to launch or at launch. And it looks like a pretty interesting game, actually. I was, oddly enough, was not very impressed by the graphics. I thought that the game really kind of lacked that level of polish that I was seeing in some of the other games that I saw yesterday. But it does look fun, and it looks like there's a lot of interesting gameplay ideas. And the presentation, the way that it ties in with the movie, does look pretty cool, actually. So one other thing that they showed is that you can bring up a tracker in the game, just like the one you saw in the movie, that it's basically a motion scanner, so it shows you the aliens that are around you as red dots, and they're closing in on you all the time, etc. Because they're so often behind the walls, or they're around corners, or they're, you know, it's a very three-dimensional game because they crawl on the walls and the ceilings. And so this is a 2D radar of where the enemies might be, and you know, it's pretty cool that they pulled that right out of the movie. And I think they didn't say this, but I think it's pretty obvious that this thing would be shown on the touchscreen on the Wii U controller, so that you would always have it up rather than in the other versions where you have to actually manually pull it up at the expense of some real estate on the TV screen or the monitor, PC monitor. I also played Batman Arkham Asylum. Arkham City, and that was just announced for Wii U. Now, we have absolutely no information about the Wii U version of that, when it might be coming or what it might entail. But again, I did get to play it, actually, which I was excited about because I played the first one on Xbox 360 and thought it was amazing. Really, really enjoyed that. This is a game for, as I've mentioned before on the podcast, if you're really into Metroid and Batman, you need to play this because it's basically a Batman game. That's really heavily influenced by Metroid Prime in terms of exploration and upgrades. And the combat's really, really good. It's a melee-based combat. And I actually didn't really get to do any combat in this demo. It was very basic. It was really teaching me to do things that I'd already done in the first game. So not the greatest in terms of playable demos on the show floor, but the game does look great, and I'm very excited to have it on the Wii U. And if you've played Batman Arkham Asylum, the first game, you'll know that you spend a lot of time in the game playing with detective vision, which shows you an outline of all the enemies, and it helps you navigate the environments and look for secret places. It's very, very much like the scan visor in Metroid Prime, and I think a pretty obvious use of the Wii U controller in this game would be to just have the detective vision on all the time on the screen, so that you don't have to keep flipping back and forth on the game. You can actually have up both at the same time. In some ways, it could make the game more challenging and make you less dependent more dependent on detective vision. I don't know. But I think it would give the game definitely a different feel, and it would be a really nice use of the controller. So we'll see about that. They certainly weren't talking about the Wii U version, though. Let's see. What else? I have a list somewhere. We played Ninja Gaiden 3. TYP and I played Ninja Gaiden 3. We're playing it on Xbox 360, but that game's coming to Wii U in some kind of expanded version. It has its own special subtitle that the other versions don't have. So clearly they're planning something special for it. Again, we don't have any kind of details, but what I can tell you is Ninja Gaiden 3 looks like a really cool action game. It's very gory, almost nasty in terms of combat. I mean, the guy demoing the game from Tecmo told me about how the game, it's really focused on using the sword, so they're not going to have a lot of the other weapons that have been in Ninja Gaiden 1 and 2, like nunchucks and hammers and big fists and things like that. It's pretty much all going to be a sword. It'll be upgraded throughout the game, but they're focusing on what it's like to have combat with the sword. So there's an element of the game where sometimes you hack a guy with a sword and it might get stuck inside of his body, and then you have to push the button again to push it the rest of the way through and break through the bones. There's another time when you might basically like stab a guy with a sword and then push the button again to push it farther into him to finish him off. So the game is really kind of gory, I think is the best word for it. There's blood spraying all over the place. Again, it's, as with the other Ninja Gaiden games, it's very, very fast, very fluid. There seem to be possibly some exploration elements. There certainly are in the first game. And again, this is from Team Ninja, the guys who helped make Metroid Other M. And I think the best parts of that game were the sense of action, the sense of the character movement. There were some good exploration elements. And there's a lot of interesting dynamic camera work when you're in combat, as the camera circles around and zooms in as you do certain moves. And if you've played Metroid Other M, you will recognize a lot of the elements of the action in Ninja Gaiden 3. So I think you'll be right at home with that. But it sounds like the story is going to be much better than Other M. Of course, it's a different franchise and different characters. But now with Itagaki gone from Team Ninja, the Tecmo team is really, I think, focused on bringing it back to a simpler story that's less fantasy-based. I don't really know what it's about. I do know that Ryu's arm is a cursed, one of his arms, and that factors into both the story and the gameplay. There's some kind of risk-reward system in terms of using that arm up to a point before it... it sounds like kind of like how the black suit is often used in Spider-Man video games. It can help you, but if you use it for too long, it can kind of overtake you and hurt you. So that looked pretty cool, but yeah, the game looks excellent. I don't really know how you would use the Wii U controller for it, but I think it's certainly a game that a lot of Nintendo fans will enjoy checking out on their own system. So now we're getting into a traffic jam here, and that means we're getting near the convention center. So I'm going to wrap it up here with the E3 Day 3 CarCast. And again, we'll be back with probably at least one more podcast. Also, make sure you check out the Homecast. I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, but Zach, Carl, and Mike Sklins got together over Skype and sort of did their commentary on what's happened so far from the home team. So check that out as well. It should be, it's either on the RFN feed or the Newscast feed. Newscast feed. Okay, so if you're not a regular subscriber to the Newscast, you should go over there and do that so that you can check out the Homecast and then, of course, the regular Newscast following up on that later on, which there might be one this weekend, I heard. I'm not sure. That's unconfirmed. Rumor, speculation, hype. Yes, so check out the Homecast. Check out all the other podcasts that we've been doing, and we will speak to you soon. And, of course, keep a very close eye on NintendoWorldReport.com because that's where most of the work that we're doing at the show is ending up there. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye. Everyone say bye really loud.
Bye.
Excellent.